What is up, everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of the FMC show. This week we've got Parkera.
How we going?
We've got myself, Kylex, but we've got no Super Swan. It's his 30th birthday, so we wish you a massive 30th birthday. I still don't think there's any reason why it's not a good enough reason to miss a pod. But
happy birthday, young fella. Obviously, can't handle his alcohol if he, you know, if he's hungover or something.
Unless I heard
he's actually in Chester, and maybe that's why he's not here.
Yeah, okay. So instead of Super Swan, we have Dodgy Gamer. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Hello, everybody.
Very supportive recently in the FM circles, I've noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a lot of good stuff, a lot of new creators appearing on YouTube. There's a lot of good stuff going on with podcasts as well. Obviously, been enjoying your show. And I've got no idea why you would invite me on to ruin it at this stage, but okay.
Well, maybe comedy value.
Okay.
You're talking about there's obviously some new people coming in. There is kind of like a little bit of a new influx of FM creators. We've just got a new guy as an admin on the Discord, actually, Cheech FM. He's a Scottish FM streamer / YouTuber who's doing a Atherton Collieries save randomly, which is quite close to my last year's Prescott Cable save. Last year they were in the same division as Prescott Cable, so that got us talking, and we've actually got quite a lot in common, so that's quite cool. So we've been chatting to him a little bit as well. There is a lot of new blood in the FM community, so guys, keep your eyes out and make sure you go and check them out and subscribe to their channels if you like them. Just before we start the save updates, I just wanted to say we now have a 67 average listener base, which is massive.
Nice.
Like, I think that's jumped up about eight since the last week or the week before. So that's pretty cool. And we've also got a new country. Hello to our listeners in Colombia.
Oh, very nice.
Nice, isn't it? Yes.
Colombia. You'll get a nice little FM stamp on the map, FMC stamp on the map even. It's great to have you listening. Give us a DM if you're listening to this, and we'll meet in actual person rather than country. So I'll know who you are rather than where you are. Hope you enjoy the show. So save updates. We'll start off with Dave. Or Dodgy Gamer, sorry, just giving out your first name for fun. just because you're not here every week, why don't you tell everyone what it is you're doing?
All right, well, I'm currently running the save on my YouTube channel. I went this year with Andorra, so I'm taking charge of FC Andorra, who in the vanilla game are in the lowest playable Spanish league, the second division B, and I took over the Andorran national team at the same time, so the plan is that we build up FC Andorra, bring them up to La Liga, make them a force to be reckoned with in Spanish football, and then at the same time take advantage of the better players that are going to be coming through as we improve youth facilities and training facilities and see if we can do something with the Andorran national team other than get thrashed every time there's an international weekend. So far, it's been going pretty well. We've got to the end of season two. We've just been promoted up to the second division. First season was a little bit about kind of feeling our way around, getting to know the squad, finding out what we needed to do. Basically, we just needed to get some good players. And then we brought those in for the second season, kind of got through to promotion quite easily. They have a rather complicated playoff system, but we got through that. The only worry is the last game I played was the playoff final. It was like the overall championship final for the second division B. We'd already been promoted by this point and we got absolutely hammered. We were beaten 9-4 on aggregate. If anyone wants to watch my pain, that's the most recent episode on my YouTube channel at the moment. So bit of rebuilding work to do over the close season, I think, to try and make sure we can stay up in the second division in Spain. As for the national team, we've been doing all right, actually. We almost got promoted out of our Nations League group, just pipped to first place by Latvia. And in our World Cup qualifying group, we've already picked up a win over the mighty Malta. The only concern there is that I'm in the same group as Italy and Russia. So it's going to be a bit of a little and large contest when we come to play in those guys. But it's inevitable that we're going to get hammered in the international scene for the foreseeable future. But hopefully, as the save progresses, we're going to see Andorra kind of move up in the Nations League. And maybe, who knows, maybe we could even look at qualification for a tournament or two.
Yeah, cool. So that's the two things. So obviously Andorra, because you're two different Andorras.
Absolutely.
Secondly, I can't remember who it was now. What's the team? So it's quite similar to that challenge that everyone used to try and do, where but you can't do it in FM20, is it? Who is it?
San Marino,
that's the one, yeah. And I was reading something a little while ago about the fact that you can't be the San Marino team anymore, like club team. Is it the club team or the...
Yeah, the club team. I think they got relegated out of the playable leagues in FM, and then I think
they folded, didn't they?
Yeah, the club folded as well.
Yeah, so this is kind of like another version of that, isn't it?
Yeah. And
in some respects.
Yeah, the other option you've got for a similar challenge is FC Vaud, a Liechtensteiner team in the Swiss League. But yeah, that's probably a challenge too far for me.
But do they have an international team, or would you just go...
It's large... what's the name of the country called?
Yeah, Liechtenstein.
So you'd just be Liechtenstein and the other team?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even remember what they're called. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I've never tried them, so it's quite an interesting thing. And like I said, you know, obviously with you not being able to be the San Marino team and country now, obviously Andorra is maybe another way into doing that. So it's quite cool. What about yourself, Parkera? How's your saves going?
Yeah, my saves are still untouched. So yeah, not much progress being made there.
Is there a
Football Manager there untouched? Other games they're going well.
Yeah. So is there a reason was it not going your way, or have you just
I mean, I was just I'm at a stage in the save where I'm about to start the next season. We had a successful season, the first season, compared to what the club wanted. You know, we finished mid-table and we were supposed to be relegated. But yeah, I just lost total interest in Football Manager FM20 around mid-December.
Awesome.
And luckily I had recorded enough advance that I got to, I think, early January.
Yeah, so any idea when you're going to be picking up next?
Oh, no idea.
Okay.
Sooner rather than later, probably. Who knows? No promises.
Myself, I've changed style recently a little bit. I've kind of wanted to slow it down a little bit because obviously my first season as Trelleborgs in the Swedish First Division Elite, I got them to stay up in via the playoffs, and then the next league I got. The next season I got promoted first. We won the league, so we were champions. But I feel like in Sweden, the jump between First Division Elite and the Premier Division is huge. So the players and the other teams in the Premier League have got money. They've got facilities and all that we just don't have. So I've decided to sort of try and play it smarter. I mean, my last episode on Friday, we didn't play a game. I think we did play one game, I think. But it was mainly, I was trying out this new, well, it's not new, but it is new to me, the 5-star coach thing, you know, with the DDM and all that. Have you heard of that before? Anyone?
Five-star coaching setup, eh?
Yeah, so it's a mathematical equation thing. We may do a show on this because I'm reading into it. It's really, really interesting, actually. So basically, how it works, I've got some of the thingies written down here. So obviously, if you want a fitness coach, you look for a fitness coach with a decent fitness stat, generally, yeah?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, but... What you do to decipher whether they've got a certain amount of stars, there is like a little chart, which I haven't got written down, but for a 5-star coach, you want anything over, a 5-star fitness coach, you want anything over 239 score. And the way you work that out is you take the fitness score that they have by times that by 9. This is only the fitness coach, by the way. There's different maths for each different coach. And then adds their DDM together. And I can't remember what... So you got determination.
Discipline and motivation.
Determination and motivation. They're the ones, yeah. It was the second D I couldn't remember. Yeah, so them three, you add them up and times them by 2.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
it gives you a score. And then that score, there's like obviously from half a star to 5 star. And depending on that score, it'll tell you how many stars that coach will be. So it's a good way of actually, you know, figuring out what a coach is going to be before you bring him in and waste all your money on him, which I thought was really, really clever. And
that's not a bad idea, 'cause, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a new thing at all.
No.
But it's a new thing that I've stumbled on, and it's quite interesting. The issue is that I've found that, obviously, the level I'm at and the fact I've got no money means that I can't really do anything about it, even though I know this now. There's not much I can actually do about it. So, yeah, I'm in a sort of catch-22 situation, but it's good to know. And, yeah, hopefully...
It'll be tough, especially... especially at lower league teams, like you said, you haven't got cash or anything either. The reputation, you don't want to, those sort of coaches don't want to come to you, but it's something you can slowly build towards, especially if it's like a long-term vision for the club. You know, I remember like years ago, I think they still have it. I can't remember the website, but they used to have a calculator, like an online calculator.
Yeah, they do. There is a few of them, yeah, and they do the same thing.
Yeah, you put in certain stats, and that would work out a determination, you know, the star rating and what they would be best at, and it's probably the same mass most likely behind what you've, you know, got there. Quite interesting, actually. I've never really delved deep into it. I've always kind of looked at, like, fitness. I'll always look at being a high number, and then I've always looked at pretty much, you know, those three Ds, the DDM. As it is, but yeah, it's pretty good actually.
The DDM and the attribute you want the coach to be, so fitness, goalkeeper, tactical. Obviously, the goalkeeper, you add the two together, handling and whatnot. But yeah, so I didn't realize that the DDM was actually as important as it is. But supposedly, if you've got, do you know what? Actually, we won't talk about this now because this is quite interesting. I think maybe we'll do a show on it at some point when I've delved a little bit deeper, because I think it is quite interesting, quite informative.
Yeah, sounds good. At the moment, I'm keeping all my staff on 1 year contracts because I can't attract the quality of staff I want. So I'll be listening out for that one in future when I get round to contract renewals again.
Makes it easy just to dump them.
That's not a bad tip either, especially when you're in the leagues I'm in. My issue is that I've got coaches that are decent-ish but not great, so I'm trying to keep them. Even that, you know, for as long as I can, because otherwise they'll just get poached. But actually, it might work better if I just did that, actually, Dave, because having them in on 1 year contracts means there's no, you know, compensation when you want to get a better coach in or whatever. So it's a money saving idea as well. And I really, really, really need some money saving ideas.
Well, I tend to do that with my staff. Give them 1 year deals, let it run out if I don't want to replace them, or by the time I may be lucky enough and find someone who's better, it's not going to cost me much because it's usually towards the end of the season anyway. And, you know, most likely if it's a, you know, mutual termination, some of them will go, oh, yeah, okay, sweet ass, see you later.
Yeah.
You know, but all depends, especially, like you said, in the lower leagues, it's
unless you get the greedy ones who are just like, no, I'm just going to stay here because I know you don't want me, but I'm getting paid, so it's all good.
Yeah, you get a few of those, and when you do, or even if you get kind of decent ones for the level, you go through renegotiate for another year, and they're like, I want like three times the amount I was on before.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
What? No.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I'm looking at these little ways that I can actually not cheat the game, but, you know, sort of find.
That's not cheating, is it?
It's being more in depth and sort of, I'm hoping that will help me. With the gulf between where I'm at, even though I'm in the same league as, you know, the likes of Malmo and AIK and all that, who just, you know, have money to burn and stuff like that, and I'm, you know, in debt. So, yeah, anyway,
that's
where I am anyway.
As well, that way, because it kind of makes you invest in the coach as well, and especially with FM now, and even the last two seasons, I think, sometimes when you've gone to another job, like you do in a journeyman, you've got the opportunity to bring staff from your previous club with you.
Yeah.
You know, so if you've had the time, if you've invested in some of your coaches who are at a good level and, you know, potentially they're young enough to improve, you might have the opportunity to bring them over with you and continue how it went, you know?
Yeah, and that's the plan, and that's why I wanted to look at this, because that way I can sort, you know, and at some point in the journeyman that I'm doing, I will be at a club where I will be able to make use of that. Do you know what I mean? So it is good to know, but it was just something new that I'd stumbled upon, and I thought I'd give it a go when I get the chance. So let's move on to the main topic then. This week's topic was suggested by our guest host, Dodgy Gamer, and he wanted to know, which sackings are you still bitter about? I'm going to read the first one out from FM Cheap Seats, and it's quite a long-winded one. He starts by, apologise for the length, which should be seen as measure of my pain 2 years after the fact. So I think this is exactly what you wanted, Dave.
yeah, that's what I was anticipating. There'll be a few bitter stories out there that, you know, need their time to be told properly.
Yeah, so I'll just quickly run through this and then we'll discuss it. So during the FM 2017 version of my Nearly Men save, the Democratic Republic of Congo became an eligible national side after losing to Argentina in the 2086 World Cup final. So it's obviously, you know, quite far in the future. Congo's manager was sacked. However, a mere 6 months later, after a dismal showing at the 2037 African Cup of Nations, ranked 13th in the world, they had been an emerging power for years. They were the dominant force in Africa, with a strong contingent of young emerging players. They looked good value to make a run at the 2090 World Cup. In other words, they were a perfect fit for my then legendary manager, Gunnar Vikander, son of my original manager, Hakan Tellius. Okay, so there's a very good narrative right behind it. On a more personal note, my daughter is Congolese and I love managing African national sides. So I was appointed as manager in February 2087. It was about as happy as I had been in that save, which up to that point had already been rather epic. My happiness was not to last. In September, we hosted two friendlies. We lost both matches, 3-1 to Peru, 5-1 against the United States. I told myself this is a young squad. They just need time to develop and grow, time to get accustomed to our strikerless tactics. It was only later when I'd realised that what they really needed was a hug in the face with a metal folding chair.
Nice.
Yeah. The October friendlies against Guinea and Mali were much better. 2 wins, 5 goals scored, none conceded. We were on the up again. Yeah, maybe. But only superficially. We were still a mess tactically. We weren't clicking. November would see the first hurdle in our World Cup 2090 qualifying campaign. A two-legged match against Togo, with the winner taking the spot in the final group stage of the CAF qualifying process. Togo were ranked 82nd in the world. We had this in the bag. We were World Cup runners-up and odds-on favourites to make a run in the 2090. Of course, if you think this was a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention. We conspired to lose the first leg in Togo 1-0, thanks to an 81st-minute own goal. FM'd. We were dominant. The result didn't match the game. I told myself, these are the breaks. We'll do them back in Kinshasa. I'm guessing that's the place. At the Stade de Martyrs, we started off strong. 2 goals in the first 5 minutes. Utterly dominant. Finally, the tactics looked to be clicking, except they weren't. We weren't finishing off our chances. We were wasteful. In the 50th minute, Togo scored to draw a level on aggregate and ahead on away goals. Nevertheless, we remained dominant, ascendant, one might even say. In the 72nd minute, Togo reduced to 10 men. Surely it was only a matter of time. Except it wasn't. We couldn't find the back of the net. I'd taken over the World Cup runners-up and within a matter of months guided them to elimination at the first hurdle of an extremely straightforward and forgiving CAF qualification process. I can't blame FA. I deserve to be sacked, if not worse. But I didn't just let myself down. I'd let my 6-year-old daughter down. I hope someday she can forgive. She can find the strength to forgive me. So that was quite a long-winded...
I can feel the pain.
Yeah.
It's almost, that's kind of like, almost, it reminds me of, I was watching a documentary on Netflix about a few months ago about the Denmark team that eventually won the Euros, and how the coach took over a successful team and went through like heavy defeats, and they, you know, they got they didn't qualify for the Euros, but then they ended up going through for, I think it was because of Yugoslavia or something, and winning it, you know. And he was like on the verge of being sacked, and everyone was calling for his head and stuff.
Well, some of the best managers have gone through that. But like, I mean, one of the best managers in the Premier League ever, Alex Ferguson, and I'm not a Man United fan saying that, he was nearly sacked like three or four times from Man United when he first started.
Yeah, they say it was Mark Robbins that saved his career with an FA Cup replay goal.
Yeah.
If they hadn't won the FA Cup that season.
And what might have been if he had been sacked, do you know what I mean? Like, would he have gone elsewhere and done his job there?
Well, he'd done successful things before. I mean, he had a good successful career in Scotland, especially with Aberdeen.
I know, but I'm not taking anything away from that. But I do also feel that Scotland and the Premier League are two different, you know, animals together, aren't they?
I get what you're saying. Look at all the successful managers who've come out of Scotland, though.
Yeah, That's what I mean, but there's also probably a lot of managers who are managing Scotland who wouldn't be able to make that step up. So that's just kudos to him more than general. I'm not taking away from the fact that winning in Scotland is winning in Scotland. I'm just sort of putting a point across that winning in Scotland doesn't really mean you could take over a big club in the Premier League and dominate like Man United dominated for so long. Do you know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. I wasn't trying to sort of take anything away from it.
I'm just saying, I think he would have succeeded anywhere he went. He was just lucky and given what managers these days don't get, and that's time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wonder if he would have been given the same amount of time if he'd taken over United in a different timeline.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Well, that's what they're trying to do with Ollie, isn't it? Like, he's not doing very well at all, but they're still trying to, you know, because they're probably looking back and going, well, you know, Fergie did this. This is what happened with Fergie. And then look, you know what I mean? So I think they're trying to do it, but it's really growing on him, isn't it?
Bored and, I mean, United's bored shit, though. That's different too.
Yeah, that is the difference as well. I'm not sure Fergie could have done well under this board.
Well, also, Fergie came in having won the Cup Winners' Cup with Aberdeen. Solskjaer came in having been sacked by Cardiff, so it's a little bit different, I think.
And in Mould, it's not really a stellar.
And that's what I was saying before. Mould to the Premier League is probably similar-ish to Scotland to the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? And that's exactly what I was saying. It's not. It doesn't really transpire over. Do you know what I mean? Like transfer over. Sorry. You know, it's a much harder league. And I think one of the biggest problems these days is, we're going off on a bit of a tangent here, but one of the biggest problems these days is player power, I think, more than anything else. And I don't think they had so much of that back in the day, because players were a bit more respectful to the manager.
You wouldn't need, would you?
Well, there's that as well. And I think that's another thing where Fergie sort of came into play, where, because he just decided, you know, no one's bigger than this club. I'm the head of this club. And if you don't like it, I don't care how big you are, you can go. And I mean, if you look at some of the,
because that's it. You know, back in his day, he was kind of him. I guess him and Wenger were the last of a breed in England of basically a manager being, you know, ruling everything, having a say in everything. Whereas now it's director of football's this and that other things. You know, like the old style managers have kind of gone by the wayside.
But if you look at the likes of the people he managed, the difficult players he managed, and they were still difficult, they just had respect. Roy Keane, you know, can you imagine anyone getting anything else out of Roy Keane? Like,
Brian Clough.
Or Brian Clough, maybe, But what I mean is any manager of this day, and, you know, Roy Keane would eat them to bits. Do you know what I mean? Like, Eric Cantona. Do you know what I mean? Like, these players, they had flair and temper.
Management.
It was just about how he managed it, and, you know, he didn't let anyone become bigger than the club. Now you've got the likes of Paul Pogba, who obviously thinks he's the best thing at Man United, and his attitude is absolutely sucky. I can't stand the player. Like, honestly, I can't stand him. I think he's a lazy. He's got it. He's got it in the bag. He's got it in the bag when he wants it. He reminds me of a Sissoko from when he was at Newcastle before Tottenham. when he wanted to play and perform, he could, but he just only when he wants to. Anyway,
where were we?
So yeah, fun enough, we've got Super Swan up next. So a happy birthday to you again, Super Swan. Yeah, who? So I got sacked as Portsmouth manager in Mad Scientist's 2003-2004 database in the first season. The board expected Champions League football for a team that had just been promoted from the Championship. I think it was a bug. Was quite funny. I mean, that's typical Super Swan, isn't it? You know, blame it on a bug.
Yeah, well, Portsmouth at the time, you know, they had high expectations. I think they were reaching very much above their level, so perhaps that expectation
was
quite realistic.
That was the FA Cup
realistic.
Win season, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I remember Harry Redknapp saying that winning the FA Cup was the tipping point for the club, because they paid out much more in bonuses than they ever earned from winning it. And, you know, that really put them in a difficult situation.
Well, that's it. And also, they paid for players, didn't they? And that year is basically why they are where they are now, isn't it?
That's so, they're in the time, well and truly.
Yeah. So, you know, that's there you go, Adam. It's your fault for taking over a club that thought it was bigger than it is, basically. In real life and Football Manager. And they say that Football Manager isn't realistic. Okay. So next we've got Ben DPB. I can never say that straight quickly. DPD. DPB.
Sounds like you're saying Deep Heat.
Yeah, Deep Heat, yeah. I never do a save long enough to get sacked. I've been bitter about having leaving a club for a new one and instantly regretting it, but that's about it. So there's that. Thanks for that, Ben. I was just going to agree with you there. I think I've pretty much had that more than I've had the sackings that I'm bitter about. What was you going to say, Doji? Go on. Yeah,
the same thing. I think actually it was discussed when you were doing the worst save pods a few weeks ago, but I had a move once when I went from a team in Brazil to Spartak Moscow and just immediately regretted it. It's like once I saw the state of the squad and the kind of the financial difficulties, all those things that you couldn't really get a close look at without accepting the job, I just thought, oh, what have I done? And the save kind of petered out from there.
Yeah. I mean, I can't honestly think of anything off the top of my head. One of the worst things I ever did was one of my very first saves on my YouTube channel, actually, as a creator. I think it was FM17 as Bolton. That was a tough save, and I mean I never even finished it. I just hated it. Like, it was everything about it was like, it was almost impossible. Like, I couldn't get them. I think I got them to stay up, if I remember rightly, but I couldn't progress it anymore. They were like literally finishing and languishing around that area every season. And I just lost interest, because I mean, we had no money to buy anyone. Players were on like non-contracts. We had players leaving left, right and centre. And what was his name? We had Aaron Wilbraham, who was like a 48-year-old striker or something. Like, I don't think he was that old, but you know, he was really, really pushing for age. So it was almost like an impossible task. And I kept trying to tell myself, no, we can do it. But it was my first year as a creator, and in the end, I just was like, I've got to do something a bit more interesting than this, because it's just not enjoyable at all. So, and then we've got the Don Gaming, who said, FM19 Livingston, first season. They asked me to fight bravely against relegation with the worst squad on paper in the league. Recent form has seen us play both Old Firm sides in the last five, and have taken 5 points from those. From those five, was a point of Hearts in 11th, playing them next when they sacked me. Imagine that. Like, so ouch. if he had played that next game and then beat Hearts, he would have saved them from relegation, or at least been out of the relegation zone. especially in the form he was in.
That's probably as realistic as you'll get, though. I mean, how many times does it happen in real life, probably, you know?
I suppose in real life, it's a bit different, I think, because that would be a must-win game. And if they didn't think that you could win it, they might just pull the trigger and go, well, we get someone in who can definitely win that game, because that game could save the season. Do you know what I mean? Because if they're 1 point behind Hearts and then Hearts win, that and they're 4 points behind, then that's big trouble. But if they beat them, then they're out. Do you know what I mean? So that is quite a serious decision to make, I guess. Without any warning or chance to save myself, was in December first season, felt if I could get to the January transfer window, we could move up pretty quickly. So yeah, that's exactly what I think you were talking about, Dodgy. With you know, that would stress me out, knowing that one game could have changed everything if you'd been given the opportunity to play it.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, my own tale is a similar one to that, I think. In that,
that's good.
Just,
you can carry on, because that's all of the thingy ones now, so you can tell us about yours now.
All right, great. Well, the one that kind of still rankles for me, it's going back a bit, but I think it was the last version of the game that SI made for under the Championship Manager brand, Championship Manager 4, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was the first management game I'd played for a long time. After several years as a PlayStation player, I came back to PC and picked up the game, and I was terrible at it. I like jumped in with Barcelona, got sacked from that, but wasn't bitter about it, because it was fully deserved. And I ended up at Aston Villa. And the days when Doug Ellis was still the chairman, who's, you know, has a reputation in real life for being a bit trigger happy. Yeah. And they were in the relegation zone. I got them out of the relegation zone, but at the end of the season, it was all like, oh, all the messages from the board were like, we're very disappointed. At the start of the next season, though, we went on a winning streak. We won our first three games. But in this version of the game, if I remember correctly, I think you didn't get a season expectation, but you would get something like a preview of the next match, and the board expects you to win this game, or the board expects you to get a good result from this game.
Yeah,
it was something like that at the time. And I remember we were away to Chelsea and we lost, narrow defeat. And then after that, I started getting these messages like, oh, Doug Ellis is losing patience with the manager. A bad result in the next game could see him sacked. We then won a couple more games. So we were like 5-6 games into the season. We'd won all bar one. And then we had Man United away. And we lost that. And then immediately after the game, it was like, all right, that's it. You're sacked.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I think I was stuck in this perpetual loop of it was always going to be about the next result. And yeah, it was like, well, at that point, we'd won 5, lost 2. Which compared to the previous season was fantastic form. We were like third in the league, and yeah, got sacked. It still pains me to this day.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. So yeah, it's quite similar. I mean, like I said, I haven't been sacked in the last two FMs. I haven't really played a long season. Like what's his name said, I haven't played a long save really. I've either left before I've been sacked or just not carried on the save. Like, so I haven't actually been sacked for a while. I have been sacked previously in other games, but I tend to sort of, if I feel like I can't do a job somewhere, I'll just leave, rather than, you know, struggle and then get sacked. So I feel like I'm maybe a Pep Guardiola or Mourinho sort of manager. Actually, not Mourinho anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, he's been sacked a few times now.
Yeah, maybe not at their level, but with that sort of mentality, like, you know, I think my time's up here. You know, so I sort of foresee, and I look at the club, and I sort of see where they're at already, where I think they could be. And if I'm not one of these that will carry on a save, or with a team, if I don't think I can take them at least a step further. Like I said, with the Bolton one, I just couldn't take them any further. And I just, stop playing it in the end. I just stopped doing that one. I did a different save instead. So that's where I'm at. I tend to not let myself get to a stage where I'll get sacked. I'll either leave first or just give up the goat. What about you, Parker? Have you got any bitter?
Well, I was initially sackings? When I saw the question, I was thinking, hang on, I don't think I've ever been sacked. But that I have, and they're both in the same save. And it was probably 2015. I don't know what version it was. Anyway, it was about 3 or 4 years ago. And I was started. The first one was it was with Notts County, so I took them. I think they would have been might have been the first time they were relegated into the conference. And I managed to take them up into League Two. Somehow getting promotion over a certain period of time, and got them like lower end of League One, and then you know now and again when you see in the news item a certain team or teams will announce you know a manager's been sacked or he's left, and they'll list you know managers and the odds on who they think's going to get the next you know the job, and I saw my name was on there, and the club was Preston actually. I thought, oh geez, like you know. Oh, I've actually been linked with a thing here. And then I got an interview for it. Not an interview. I got a press release, you know, and, you know, asked a question. And, you know, you just tick on the top answer. And then, of course, the interview. And the board got, of course, wind of it, cause, as they always do, and said, oh, you know, they pretty much gave me, you know, oh, if you, you know, we're giving you an opportunity to say that you're not interested and things like that. And I don't remember what the answer was in terms of what selection, but it was basically, well, no, I'm not going to do that. So they sacked me. I was like, what the hell?
And then Headstrong will get you sacked.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, nice. Luckily I ended up getting that Preston job. Got them. I don't know where they were in the FM. Like, I think they were in League One. They'd been just relegated from the Championship, and it's somehow how I got it. Got them back up after a couple of seasons, did pretty well mid-season. You know, I think I spent 4 years with them. And then it was a board meeting that I called. You know, yeah, I wanted to do something. I think either increase the amount of coaches or it was some small request. And, you know, the board's like, no, we don't agree. And you have all these options. And I went through all the options. And, of course, there's two left there, you know, the ultimatum and the one that says, yeah, okay, then no worries. And I clicked on the wrong one, gave them an ultimatum, and got sacked on the spot.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a dangerous button, that, isn't it? Like, it's leaked to the press now, isn't it? You get the choice to leak to the press now. And I feel like you've got to have a really, really strong standing in the club for a start to even use that. And secondly, you've got to expect to be getting sacked if you do, and it's only a bonus if they keep you and they give you what you want. Like, so, like, I wouldn't go to the club and go, can I have a new coach, I need more coaches, and they go nah, and I go, well, I'll leave then, because
yeah, I don't think it was the coach. I think it was
oh, I know, like, there's other stuff, but I mean, yeah, you've got to make it, you've got to make sure it's something big to even want to use anything like that, unless you're actually willing to leave for it. If it's something you believe, obviously, and you're willing to be like, you know, again, like I said, I'm quite headstrong when it comes to my saves. If I don't feel like I can take them further, I will just leave and go to another club. So
these guys were up. That's the thing that got me, because it was 4 years of being with the club, got them back into the Championship, and we were making progress, real big progress each season. You know, good feedback from the board and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just a matter of fine tuning and bits and pieces, and then just to select that, it was just like,
yeah,
oh, what the hell?
Would you have autosave on every year or something?
Eh?
Do you have your autosave on every year?
I don't even know if autosave was in then, was it? Like, the, you know how they, is it 3 day keep or something?
Three to five, is it?
I think it was just, yeah. I can't remember, might have just been the one. But I think after that, I just couldn't even be bothered reloading or something, or I hadn't saved for so long. It was like, oh, I don't really want to go through that again.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the end of the story. I wouldn't say bitter, but just gutted, especially that last one. It was like,
I'm quite surprised because we've discovered that you're sort of like the most calm Football Manager player. Like, you just get on with it, and if you lose, you lose. If you win, yeah. So yeah, I can see why.
I've let it off. Yeah.
Like when you had to go out and buy a new laptop after you got sacked. Yeah. Okay. So I think it's time for the quiz, which Dodgy Gamer has quite nicely set up for us, as all the guests will be doing. And it's good because currently it's 5-2-2 to Super Swan. I swear he has Google up in the background.
He must have, mate. He's got to have something, or on his phone.
Yeah. It'll give one of us a chance to sort of catch up with him a little bit. What is the quiz on?
Well, there's only really one choice this week. The quiz is going to be on managerial sackings.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to start off. We've got a few questions on Premier League era sackings. Then I've got a couple more questions that will kind of branch it out into the wider world of football a little bit. Okay, so we'll start off question number one with the current season. So at the time of recording, 34 of the 92 managers who started the current season in charge of clubs in the English leagues have now been sacked or otherwise left their jobs.
Wow.
Who was the first managerial casualty of the 2019-2020 season?
Oh, I don't know his name, but I know the club. I'm just going to say the Bolton manager.
I'm just going to go Mourinho.
Okay, well, you're both wrong.
Okay.
Although the Bolton manager, Phil Parkinson, was one of the early ones to go. It was actually Sol Campbell. From Macclesfield quite early in the season.
Okay. Oh, that's right. He used to be a manager.
All right, then. On to question two. We've just passed the 27th anniversary of the first ever Premier League sacking, which took place on the 15th of February 1993. Can you name the club that gave their manager his marching orders?
Nottingham Forest?
No idea.
All right. Well, so we got a pass in Nottingham Forest, so no correct answer there. I can give you a clue if you want to have a second shot at it.
Give us a clue.
So the manager's name was Ian Porterfield. Which probably doesn't help at all, does it?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, it was Chelsea starting a tradition of sacking managers.
Bloody hell.
We talked a little bit earlier about how times have changed. When I was researching this, there were actually only two managers sacked in that first Premier League season.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the other one being Spurs, who sacked their coach at the end of the season. Okay, maybe this one will be slightly easier, hopefully. Question three. Claudio Ranieri has possibly been sacked more than any other active manager in the top European leagues. How many times has he been given the boot in his career to date?
I'm going to go with six.
Seven.
I knew you were going to go close.
Shall we go with whoever's got closest?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to give that one to Parkera because the correct answer is eight.
As if it's eight.
Across club and national teams, he's been sacked eight times.
That's bad, that, isn't it?
Okay, next question then. We have to get Big Sam into a quiz about sackings.
Definitely.
So yeah. Sam Allardyce was famously, or infamously, sacked after one game in charge for England, which was a 1-0 victory over Slovakia. Who scored the goal in that game? And to give you a clue, he's a current Liverpool player.
Henderson?
Lallana.
Okay, Kylex draws it level 1-1. It was indeed Adam Lallana.
Get in.
Henderson's here, I don't know.
All right, so next set of questions. What connects? What connects the sackings of these managers? So the first one, what connects the sackings of Martin Jol from Tottenham in 2007, Carlo Ancelotti from Juventus in 2001, and Harald Schumacher from Fortuna Cologne in 1999.
Nationality?
Well, we've got a Dutchman, an Italian, and a German. So,
so that's not the answer then. Okay.
I'll give you a clue.
Have they all managed at the same club?
No, I'll give you a clue. It's about the timing of their sackings.
All sacked on the same day.
All sacked in the same week.
Okay. The correct answer was actually they were all allegedly sacked at half time during matches.
Oh yeah, I actually remember. I actually remember hearing something about Martin Yol. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't literal, was it? It wasn't obviously thingied out until after the game, but it was rumored
that.
Yeah.
I think it was one that the rumours started to go around the stadium during the match that a replacement was going to be announced immediately after the game.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to another one then. What connects? There's a few names here, so pay attention, please. What connects the sackings of Radomir Antic from Real Madrid? It's 1992. Bobby Robson from Sporting Lisbon in 1993. Kumbare from PSG in 2011 and Valverde from Barcelona this year, 2020.
All sacked in Christmas or during Christmas?
if you get that right, that's like a crazy guess.
That is the same thing. God, man.
All sacked to Easter?
Well, it would be good if Valverde had been sacked at Easter, seeing as we haven't got that yet.
Yeah. I just went with the different Christian holiday.
Okay, so any answer, Kylex?
No, I don't know.
Okay, this one was they were all sacked when their teams were top of the league.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. One thing that perhaps doesn't bode well for Barcelona is that in all of those cases, they went on to finish second at the end of the season. So,
good luck, Bas.
Okay. We'll do one more. What connects? We'll see. We'll see if you can get this one. This one, I'll give you two of the answers and see if you can guess the third one. So, so there have been several instances of managers finding out that they had been sacked through the media. Bobby Robson, for example, claims to have seen a newsstand when catching a train displaying the headline Robson sacked during his time at Fulham. Nigel Adkins found out he'd been fired as Southampton boss when he switched on the TV to watch the evening news. How did Bruce Rioch learn he was dismissed by QPR in 1997? And it was a very 90s way to learn about your sacking.
97, a 90s way of being sacked.
Oh, and a fax.
That was a good guess.
Yes.
I'm just going to go with something that from the 90s. That
I was going to say on... No, yeah. Oh, I'll just go with fax as well. Can't remember.
Okay. Oh. You've got the second syllable correct. By CFAX.
Teletext.
Yeah, the old teletext. He apparently saw the headline come up.
Imagine that. Yeah, that. Imagine. You know what? I've completely forgotten how important CFAX was in the 90s. My dad used to sit there with
full of text,
the scores on air all the time.
All right, so we got the scores at 1-1. I've got two more questions. I'll save what I consider to be the easier one for last, just in case.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a bizarre sacking now. English manager Keith Armstrong was sacked by Finnish side FC Ilves, I think it is, in 2015 for being absent during one of his team's league matches. Do you know the reason for his absence?
No idea. And it's a random reason, like a crazy reason, apparently, yeah?
Well, it's still connected to football, but he was absent from the touchline.
He was watching another game.
Not a bad show. Well, no, because yeah, could maybe watching a game in the thingy. I'm gonna go with pumping some balls up or something. I don't know.
Parker is actually very, very close.
I was thinking it's a good what he was saying is quite good. Maybe watching another game on telly or something.
Yeah, yeah, you need to give me the reason why he was watching another game.
The only reason I could think of is maybe it was for a final league position.
Or scouting.
He was technically, he was at the other ground scouting, watching the other team and feeding information to his team.
The actual reason was he was working as a pundit for Finnish TV covering that weekend's Premier League action.
What, during one of his games matches?
Yeah, he said that the excuse he gave was that he had a deal with Finnish TV. His match got rearranged, and you know he didn't want to cancel the TV gig because it was paying him more money.
And the funny thing about that is he had a deal with Finnish TV, and that was his career finished.
Yep, you finished.
Fantastic. All right, we'll go into a tiebreaker then. Hopefully this will work because I don't have any other questions.
We've had panels before.
Okay.
So Gareth Ainsworth, he's currently the longest serving manager in all of the English leagues. He's been in charge of Wycombe Wanderers since the 24th of September 2012. The next two names on the list are both current Premier League managers. Can you name them?
Roy Hodgson.
I think I know one. That's why I'm being quiet.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the name.
One of the two will probably be enough to get the point.
I haven't got it right.
I'm going to guess Sean Dyche and Eddie Howe.
Kylex, you've got it spot on.
Come on!
Yeah. Well, the interesting fact to go with this is that Eddie Howe took over at Bournemouth 12th of October 2012. Sean Dyche took over at Burnley on the 30th of October in the same year to replace Eddie Howe. So there you go.
So I win. Yay!
Yes, 2-1.
I'll take it. It's a point on the... it's 5-3-2 now.
5-3-2. That's a good formation. Apparently it's the one indeed. That's doing really well in the FM at the moment.
Yeah, which is exact. We planned that exact, just to get that little nugget in there. Okay, then. That's about all we've got time for today, guys. So what we're going to do now is where to find us, and we'll get the guest host to tell you first.
Okay, so I'm Dodgy Gamer on YouTube and Twitter as well. You'll also see me popping up on Discord every so often. And that's it for me. No Twitch, no Instagram, just YouTube and Twitter.
And Parkera?
Yeah, I'm Parkera Games on YouTube and on Twitter. And you can find me on Discord as well under Parkera.
And I'm Kylex Plays Clean Sweep throughout Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, and YouTube, obviously. I always forget one. Yeah, so that's it. Thanks for coming, guys. If you do get a chance, please do drop a review and a 5-star rating on your podcast provider for us. It really does help. It really will be appreciated. That is it from me today, Dodgy Gamer.
Thank you for listening, everyone, and thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. It's been a pleasure. And Parkera.
Kia kaha.
Kia kaha. Catch you next week, guys.